As we approach Shavuos, where we relive the giving of the Torah and the selection of the Jewish people as God's chosen people, I want to explore what exactly does it mean to be the chosen people. Is it something that's conditional? Conditional on our following the Torah? Or is it unconditional? Is it a status that we attained at Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai, and something that we would never lose? And also, does our status as the Am HaNifchar, the chosen people, suggest any inherent difference between Jews and Gentiles? And if so, what is it? So there are sources that really suggest both ways, that suggest that our being the chosen people is conditional on our behavior, or that it is a status that we can't lose. So I want to explore those sources and see what we can take out of them. So the first source is written in the Torah right before we were called to gather at Har Sinai. And Hashem says, Vata im shamoa tishma'u bekoli, if you listen to my voice, ushmartem esprisi, and you keep my covenant, v'yisemli segula mikol ha'amim, you will become to me a treasure of all peoples. So I think if we look closely at this verse, a significant word is im, if. If you obey me and keep my covenant, then you shall be a treasure out of all peoples. So what if we don't keep the covenant? And this is something that we'll see the Talmudic sages discussed and debated. Another verse arguably suggests that our status as the chosen people is unconditional. We're told later on in the Torah in Devarim, Bonim atem l'ashem elokechem, that you are children of the Lord your God. Now, of course, the relationship between parents and children can unfortunately sometimes be rocky. At the end of the day, a child is a child, and there's no way to sever that relationship. So the meaning of the last verse we saw, Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem, you are children of the Lord your God, is a matter of debate in the Talmud in Kedushin between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, what does it mean to be banim lashem, children to Hashem? He says, bizman shatem noagim minhag banim, when you act according to the behavior of children, atem kruim banim, then you are called children. Ein atem noagim minhag banim, if you don't act like children, ein atem kruim banim, then you're not called children. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. However, Rabbi Meir says, Bein kach u'bein kach atem kruyim banim. Either way, whether you act like children, how children are supposed to act, or you don't, either way, you are called children. And he quotes several verses from Torah and Nach to support this point. The first verse he quotes is from Yirmiyahu, Banim Sechalim Hema, says that they are the foolish sons. May not be the best sons, the best children, but they're nonetheless children. Second, Banim Lo Emun Bam, sons, children in whom there is no faithfulness. Zemer Emun Banim Mashchisim, seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. And then, finally, a verse from Hosea, that a time shall pass when it is no longer said, instead of what was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, B'nei Kel Chai, children of the living God. So we see that from a certain perspective, no matter what, the status as children of Hashem can never be severed. So does this suggest that there's an inherent difference between Jews and Gentiles? If we take a first approach, a mission-based approach, so it would seem that our status comes from our following Hashem. If we take the other approach, the approach of being children, so perhaps there's a stronger basis to argue that the difference between Jews and Gentiles is perhaps inherent. So we see a distinction in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the third chapter, quotes a statement of Rabbi Akiva. He says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Vitzelem, that beloved is man who was created in the image of God. Chiva Yisera no das lo Shenivra Vitzelem. And there was an extra degree of affection that was given to man because he was created in the image of God. And the Mishnah continues, Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikru Vanim Lamako, that beloved is the Jewish people who are called children of Hashem. And Chiba Yisera Nodas Lohem Shenikru Vanim Lamakom. And there's an extra degree of belovedness of the Jewish people that are called children of Hashem. So why Shenitan Lahem Kli Chemda? For they were given this precious instrument, and because of that, they were bestowed with an extra degree of affection. So it says that all of mankind is created B'Tzelem Elokim, in the image of God, but there's an extra affection for the Jewish people by virtue of the fact that they were given the Torah. So is the additional affection stem from the virtue of them having been given and following the Torah? Or might it suggest a permanent change in status? Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch took a very strong mission-based approach to this question. He says in his 19 letters, Yisrael among the nations, what's the status of the Jews among the rest of the world? He writes, therefore there would be introduced into the ranks of the nations one people which would demonstrate by its history and way of life that the sole foundation of life is God alone, that life's only purpose is the fulfillment of his will, and that the formal expression of this will, specifically addressed to this people, serves as the exclusive bond of its unity. So really, the Jews are distinguished by the example that they were chosen to set. And in another place, in a commentary to Vayikra, Rav Hirsch says that the distinction is really based on following the Torah and exemplifying the moral character that mankind is supposed to live by. And he notes this because the verse in Vayikra says, Ushmartem eskukosai es mishpatai, you shall observe my statutes and my ordinances, asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai bohem ani Hashem, which a man shall do and live by them. So if Hirsch says, the verse doesn't say that you shall do them and live by them, but rather, which ha'adam, literally the man, shall do and live by them. He writes, and it does not say Adam, man, but Ha-Adam, literally the man, which he understands as being a more universal mandate. He writes, the inference is that scripture here refers to anyone who exemplifies the spiritual and moral character implied by the term Ha-Adam, an attainment that can be reached only through fulfillment of God's laws. Thus, Torah's Kohanim infers, even a non-Jew who keeps God's law is equal to the high priest. So Rav Hirsch here says that the special status, even the status as serving an example as an example for the rest of the world, is reached by fulfilling one's mission in the world. So true, the Jews have 613 mitzvos, and the rest of the world was given 7 mitzvos, but if Gentiles follow there and live up to their mission in the world, so they can in fact have a status that's similar and in some ways on par with the Kohen Gadol, with the high priest. However, others take the approach of a more inherent distinction. And this approach is found really in the more mystical or Kabbalistic works. And part of the basis for this approach is a Gemara in Yevamos, which speaks about the imparting of tuma, a ritual impurity, from a dead body that's underneath one roof. So the basic rule is that if a Jewish corpse is underneath the roof, so then it makes those who are under the roof tamei, ritually impure. Whereas a corpse of a non-Jew can only transmit tuma from touching it or lifting it up. And this has practical applications, particularly for Kohanim in medical school or doctors. But in this context, the Talmud says, Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim Einan Itmein Ba'ohel, that the corpses of non-Jews don't render items impure through a tent. Shenemar Vaten Tzonei Tzon Marisi Adam Atem. It quotes from a verse in Yechezkel, and you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are men, Adam. And the Talmud says, Atem kruim Adam, ve'ein ha'ovdei kochavim kruim Adam. You are called Adam, but the Gentiles are not called Adam. And the Maharal of Prague picks up on this, and he says, explains that the Jewish people, Adam, which was the name of the original human being, is cherished. But he writes, and this is based on the Mishnah in Avos, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Vitzelem, beloved is man who is created in the image of God. But the Maharal writes, this does not include every species of humanity. As the sages, blessed be their memory, already said, for you are called Adam, but the nations are not called Adam. It is as if they said the perfection of creation, which relates to the human in particular, applies to Israel and not to the nations. For as we have explained, Israel in particular are called Adam, again, based on the Gemara above in Yevamos. Yet since this level is not only for Israel, he said regarding this that the human is cherished, Chaviv Adam. Even so, the nations also have something of the name Adam, for they are called Adam on account of the divine image, which they have, the Tzelem Elokim. And to support this, he quotes the verse at the very beginning of the Torah, let us make man, Adam, in our image. So the question is, why does the Maharal, and for that matter, other more mystical sources, downplay the status of Adam, or even the extent of the Tzelem Elokim in Gentiles? Because after all, this statement of let us make man, Adam, in our image, so that applied when Hashem created Adam Arishon. So Adam Arishon was the only human. Wasn't Jewish per se, he wasn't Gentile per se, he was the first human, and all other humans descended from him. So, if he was created B'Tselem Elokim, and really on this lofty level, why wouldn't all of mankind, at least according to this mystical approach, be on a different level? And Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in Derech Hashem, explains. He says that originally, all of mankind was meant to be on this high level. But when Adam sinned, he fell from his original high level and brought upon himself a great degree of darkness and insensitivity. And mankind in general also fell from its original height. So when Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, so he brought humanity really down. He diminished the level of connection with Hashem of humankind in general. And then the Ramchal explains that the opportunity to return to this original level was available. So different people established them and their families as carriers of this original level. So he explains that Abraham and his descendants were all able, through the recognition of Hashem, to be restored to this original lofty level. And this opportunity, explains the Ramchal, was available to all of mankind until the Torah was offered. And he says that if any nation would have accepted the Torah, and Hashem did in fact offer the Torah to the other nations of the world, it would have elevated itself from its lower state. But he says, as it was, none of them desired the Torah, and their judgment was therefore sealed completely. The gate was permanently closed, never again to be opened. The Ramchal says it still remained possible, however, for any individual to convert to Judaism. In this manner, he could still include himself in Avram's tree, really in the roots of this nation that then was able to be restored to this original level. That could be done by attaching to the Jewish people. But the Ramchal explains that because of the sin of Adam, that the rest of mankind was, that their level of Tzelem Elokim and their level of connection with Hashem was diminished. So that could explain why, according to this approach, in this respect, there would be a distinction between the Jewish people and the rest of mankind. And it was really by virtue of the fact that they recognized Hashem and accepted the Torah. Another proponent of this approach, perhaps the most famous, is Rabbi Yehuda Levi in the Kuzari. And he presents, I think, a somewhat novel idea that usually you understand that there are four levels of life, or of existence. There's the inanimate, the rocks, for example, plant life, animals, and then human beings. But the Kuzari goes even further. We'll see, he adds a fifth level. He says there are higher and lower levels of existence. A being that can recognize, grasp, and sense is evidently higher than one who cannot. The lowest plant is higher than the most important inanimate object. The lowest of animals is higher than the highest plant. The lowest of humans is higher than the highest animal. And then he continues, similarly, the lowest people among those who fulfill the mitzvot, who can only be the Jewish people, but they accepted the Torah and they have the 613 mitzvot, is higher than the greatest who do not have mitzvot. So Kuzari adds a fifth level. Above humans, he presents this level of Yisrael, of the Jewish nation. Now, it's important to note that by doing this, he doesn't downgrade or diminish the status of the rest of humanity. Meaning, in the standard approach, so humankind is the highest form. So according to the approach of the Kuzari, certainly humankind is still that highest level. So what he does, he doesn't diminish anyone else, but he says that the Jewish people, by virtue of the fact that they accepted the Torah, are really on this level above. So again, to make clear, not that in any way he's saying that anyone is subhuman or in any way closer to the animals. No, there's humanity on the highest level, but by virtue of having accepted the Torah, the Jewish people are on a higher spiritual level than even the rest of humanity. This is also presented, and in particular, with an emphasis on the Jewish soul, by Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, in his book, Tanya. And he says that the uniquely Jewish soul is chelek elokam mimal mamish,
So Chelik Elokami Mal, a part of God above, is from a verse that's found in the book of Iov, and he adds the term mamish, literally. Now, of course, this is meant allegorically. God is not divisible or physical in any way, but he distinguishes the Jewish soul, which has this godly aspect that really the souls of other people in all other existence don't have. And he explains, really with a mystical concept, that while other souls are created through speech, the Jewish souls are created and formed by divine thought, in really from the mind of Hashem, which is considered the deepest and most intimate and profound level of creation. And he quotes from B'ni Bechor Yisrael, Israel is my firstborn, and also quotes the verse we saw earlier, Banim Atem L'Shem Elokecha, that you are the children of Hashem your God. And the way this is understood by Shneur Zalman, the author of the Tanya, is by virtue of the fact that this Jewish soul comes from such a deep place from within Hashem, there's an inextricable bond between a Jew and spirituality. And it's something that's unique to the Jewish people. It's really emphasizes the idea of what is known as the Pintel Yid, really the Jewish spark and yearning for Hashem, which is really inside of every Jew, even regardless of their personal practice. And this is something that he says is unique to the Jewish soul, and presumably we can understand the uniqueness of the Jewish people in a similar vein as the Ramchal, that from the fact that the Jewish people were able to be restored to that original level, therefore they have this special connection with Hashem, and according to the Tanya, really an aspect of godliness that no other creation has. And finally, the question arises, so what does this mean for us? Meaning, you can understand, certainly we have a mission, and I'm not sure that these approaches would necessarily contradict. One is a mission-based approach. No one would deny that we have to live up to our mission. And perhaps on a more deeper spiritual level, so there is an aspect of spirituality that perhaps a Jew has. But what does this mean for us? And I think Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb explains this quite clearly. He says that what does it mean? We're told that we're mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh, a nation of priests and a holy nation. So he writes that a holy nation denotes the development of communal separateness or differences in order to achieve a collective self-transcendence. And Amlechas Kohanim, a kingdom of priests, implies the obligation of this brotherhood, which comes out of this uniqueness of the spiritual elite, towards the rest of mankind. Priesthood is defined by the prophets as fundamentally a teaching vocation. So true, through this status, there is a distinction. Internally, we're supposed to embrace a unique identity and work towards developing that role. But also, as far as the rest of mankind, we're supposed to live in a way that sets an example of how God wants humanity to live. So what can we learn from this characteristic of being chosen? And I think there are two ways it can manifest itself. Either our chosenness can be a source of haughtiness, where maybe we look down upon others and think that no matter what, we are better, which may not be a positive thing. However, I think it can also be a motivation to act as examples to the rest of the world, to live according to the mandate of being a holy nation, of following God's Torah, of being an example, realizing the lofty role that we were chosen for and that's expected of us. And if we do that, as we can realize the importance of our role in the world and realize that we always have to strive to be that example and to do Hashem's will. Chag Sameach.